Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's December 18th. We are in Mich, in Treyaser Micha, Perek Zion. Alalai li ki hayisi k'osfei kayetz. Woe is to me, because I was like those, I was like the figs that were gathered at the end of the season, at the end of the summer, which are inferior figs. Ka'olos batsir, like the harvest of those, the inferior crop that is harvested. Meaning, woe to me that I live at a time when the Jews don't have much to show for themselves, that I'm living amongst these inferior crop. Ein eshkol le'achol, there is no clusters to eat. Bikura ivsa nafshi, that which would be a bechor, which is a good fig, a tasty fig, ivsa nafshi, my soul desires. The Gemara in Maseches Sota says that eshkol, a person who is an eshkol is a person who has all different, is isha kol bo, that he has all types of milos, all types of good things, and the Gemara discusses over there Tanaim who were given that title, but Micha is saying that woe to me that I live at a time when we don't have those illustrious people. Pasuk Beis Avad Chassid Min Haaretz, the Chassid, the righteous person is lost from the land. The Yashar Ba'adam Ayin, there's nobody straight amongst men. Kulam Ledamim Yarovu, they all lie in ambush, either for blood or for money. Ish Esachihu Yatsudu Cherem, each man, they hunt their brother with traps. So everybody's trying to trap the other one to try to get personal gain. Al hara kapayim lehitiv, on evil, al hara on evil, kapayim lehitiv, the palms are to do good, which means that that you're hoping that you'll get good, you're hoping that there'll be some good payback for the bad that you're doing. That's what you're hoping, which of course is not going to happen. Hasar Shoel, the Sar, the leader, the officer, he asks for a favor. Vashofet Bashilum, and the judge is in payment, which means that they kind of pay each other off. The judge does good for one person. When one judge is being judged, they agree that they'll help each other out. One judge judges favorably for one, and then the other one judges favorably for the other. V'hagodol dover havas nafsho, and the one who is the gadol, the one who's in charge, he says whatever he wants. Hu vayabsuha. So all of this happens, and it becomes like a braid. These three, the three leaders, and they're all helping each other and all of them plotting against everybody else, and it becomes like a braid of evil. Pasuk Dalet Tovam Kechedek, the best of them are like thorns. Yashar Mimesucha, the straight ones are like a wall of thorns. Yom Mitzapecha Pekudas Chava, the day that you're hoping for, your time of being remembered will happen, which means remembered for punishment. Atasia Mevuchasam, now will be for your confusion. Meaning instead of the good days you're hoping for, instead punishment and confusion will happen. On this pasuk, the Medrash says that the Gemara says that a Kusi, someone who was a heretic, asked Rabbi Meir, I'm sorry, I have the names wrong. I have the names wrong. I don't remember the names. So the Medrash says that one of the Talmid Chachamim was asked that the pasuk says tovam kechedek, the best of you are like thorns. So you see, the Jews aren't so good. Even the tzaddikim aren't good. So he said back, you have to look at the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says yashar mimesucha, that the straight ones are like a wall of thorns, which means that when it says the best ones are like thorns, it's not that they're like thorns in your side, rather they're like thorns that cover up a break in the fence. Sometimes when you have a fence or a wall, and there's a breach in the fence or the wall, you can have a stopgap measure where thorns grow into the opening. And that effectively stops people from getting through that opening, even though it may not be a stone wall, but at least there are thorns there to block the opening and to protect the people on the inside. So the tzaddikim, even when there's a breach in the wall, they can act as thorns to cover up that opening. The analogy seems to be that despite the fact that there may be a lot of holes in the walls, there may be a bad situation, but the tzaddikim can still serve to plug those gaps. Now, the way they plug those gaps, they plug them as thorns, which means that there is a negative connotation, because at the end of the day, the tzaddikim end up being an example to the people, and the people are not taking that example. That is bad for the people, because they should be listening, they should be emulating the tzaddikim, and since they're not, it reflects badly on the people. However, at the same time, the schus of the tzaddikim does protect everybody when there is a breach in the wall. So it's a protection, but it is sometimes a painful protection, as thorns can be. Pasuk hey, al taminu vereya, do not trust your friend. Al tivtechu be'aluf, do not rely on the leader. Mi shocheves chekecha, from the one who sleeps near you, shmar pischei picha, guard the openings of your mouth. Simple meaning seems to be, even from your spouse, be careful what you say. You can't trust anybody. Everybody is suspect. No one can be trusted. The Gemara says, al taminu vereya, don't trust the Yetzer Hara. When the Yetzer Hara says to you that do an Avera and Hashem will forgive you, don't trust the Yetzer Hara. Don't rely on the leader, which means don't rely that Hashem is going to forgive you. We know that a person can do tshuva, but a person who says, Echeteva Ashuv, I'll do an Avera and then I'll do tshuva, well, then a person has a problem. That's not so simple. So don't rely on the Yetzer Hara when he says that Hashem will forgive. Go ahead and sin. Don't rely on him. Don't listen to him. Don't believe him. And don't rely that the leader will do that. Mishal cheves chekecha, from that which sleeps literally in you or near you, that is referring to, says the Gemara, your neshama. Mishal cheves chekecha, from that which sleeps inside of you, from your neshama, shmar pischei picha, be careful what you say. Says the Gemara, la'asid lavo, in the future, when a person goes up for din, so the Gemara says, who will testify about what that person said or did? And the Gemara says his own neshama will testify about his or her behavior. And therefore, a person should be careful what they say because of their own neshama who will testify about what they said.
Pasuk, what does that mean, though? Because they are their neshama.
So yeah, well, you're not really a neshama. You are a neshama and a guf.
But after a person is nifter, then they're neshama, right? Isn't that what? So what does it mean that they're going to testify against?
Can't tell you. Kivein menabel of, for a son will degrade his father. Bas kama v'ima, a daughter will rise up against her mother. Kala b'chamosa, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oy ve'ish anshe beso, the enemies of a man will be the people of his own household. The Gemara Maseches Sota says that before Mashiach comes, chutzpah yaskin, there will be a great deal of chutzpah, there will be a great deal of disrespect, and this pasuk is cited in the Mishnah that that before Mashiach comes, we will be in a situation where the disrespect is so rampant that even a son will degrade his father, even a daughter will rise up against her mother, even a daughter-in-law will rise up against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be the people of his own household. We are clearly living through this right now. The level of disrespect we have in the world today far eclipses anything that has come in the world before, meaning that there was a time when there was a certain accepted mode of behavior, and even when a person was a bad person or a person wasn't making them properly, there were certain levels of respect and certain lines they would not cross. And of course today we have no lines that people do not cross anymore. Everything is crossed as we come closer and closer to the time of Mashiach. Says Micha, Vani b'Hashem atzapem, but I will hope to Hashem. Ochila le'loke yishi, I will hope to the God of my salvation. Yishma'ini elokai, Hashem, my God, will hear me, He will listen to me. Al tismichi oyavti li, do not be glad that you who hate me, meaning the enemies of the Jewish people, such as Bavel in this context, but those who hate the Jews, do not be happy. Ki nafalti kamti, I have fallen and I will get up. Ki eshev b'choshech, even when I dwell in darkness, Hashem or Li Hashem is light to me. It could be that now I have fallen, but I will get up. It could be that now I'm sitting in darkness, but Hashem will be light for me. In the end, things will get better. Mashiach is going to come. The Geula will happen. Says the Medrash, Ki nafalti kamti, because I have fallen, I have gotten up. Had I not fallen, I would not get up. I wouldn't have the opportunity to get up. Because I am sitting in darkness, therefore Hashem is light to me. Meaning that although, of course, it is a bad thing to do an Avera, one should never do an Avera, it is always a bad thing to do an Avera. However, the fact of the matter is, once a person has done an Avera, there is opportunity for growth. And the opportunity is that when a person falls, now they can get up. And the getting up itself is a powerful zechus, is a powerful merit. By sitting in the darkness, therefore Hashem is light to me, therefore when I return to Hashem, He is my light. Za'af Hashem Esa, the anger of Hashem I have to carry, I have to bear. Ki chatasilo, for I sinned to Him. So I'm going to have to bear whatever it is that I'm going to get punished with. Ada sheyariv reviva samishpati, but once He fights my fight and does my judgment, He punishes whatever has to be punished. Yotzieni lo'ar, He will take me out into light. Erev itzid kaso, I will see in His righteousness. In the end, it's all going to come back. I am going to return to Hashem. Hashem is going to return to me. And there will be a geula, there will be redemption. Visere oyavti usechasa havusha. And my enemies, those who hate me, will see. And she will be, she's referring to the enemy in female form. And she will be covered in shame. Ha'omra Eli, she who says about me, Ayo Hashem Elokayich, where is Hashem your God? That enemy of mine that is claiming that I don't have Hashem, she will be shamed. She will end up being covered in shame. Einai tirena ba, my eyes will see in her, and as I will see what will happen to her in the end, I will be the one to have the last laugh. Ata tia lemirmas ketit chutzos, now she will be trampled like the plaster mortar on the streets. Our enemies will be trampled. Yom livnos g'day royich, the day of building your fences. Yom hahu yirchak chok, on that day, then all of the bad things that have been happening will be distanced from you. All those who are fighting with you will be distanced from you. Yom hu, it is a day, ve'adecha yavo, and it will come to you. Lemini ashur v'arei matzor. For Ashur, Assyria, because they were the enemy at that time, and the cities that have laid siege to the Jewish people, and Ulamine Matsur Vananahar, and then from these enemies of the Jews until the river, v'yam miyam, and from ocean to ocean, v'har hahar, and mountain to mountain, or mountain mountain. Meaning, no matter where the enemies are, they will be trampled, they will end up being ashamed as they see that Hashem comes and redeems us. V'yisah ha'aretz lishmama liyoshveha, and the land of our enemies will be desolate for those who dwell there, miprima alehem, as the fruits of what they have done. They will be punished, their lands will be desolate, will be destroyed. Re'e amcha b'shivtecha, shepherd your nation, Hashem, shepherd your nation according to your tribes. Tzon nachalasecha, the sheep of your inheritance. Shochni levadad, those who dwell alone, as it says, betach badad en Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu says that the Jews will dwell alone. That we will be rewarded and we will be exalted by ourselves. Yar besoch Carmel, the forest within the Carmel. Carmel means like a fertile place. That everything will be. Everything will be even, whether no matter where we are in the forest, whether it's in a fertile place, we're all going to be fine. Yiru Vashan, they will be shepherded in Bashan, Vigilad and Gilad, Kimei Olam, like days of old. So like in the past, like Hashem took care of us in the past, so too we will be taken care of again. The Medrash says, what is this referring to, Bashan and Gilad? Says the Medrash, in the future. The Gemara says, Tzadikim in the future will have the capacity to bring people back to life, to do Tchias HaMesim. Because it says here that they will be shepherded like with Bashan and Gilad. Bashan is where Elisha came from. Gilad is where Eliyahu came from. Both of them brought people back to life. Just as Elisha from Bashan and Eliyahu from Gilad, they brought people back to life, so too in the future, Tzadikim will have the capacity to be Mechaye Mesim, to bring people back to life. And here we have a famous pasuk, Ki Meitzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim, like the days when you went out of the land of Egypt, Arenu Niflaos, I will show him miracles. There will be incredible miracles that will take place. La'asid lavo, in the future, before Mashiach comes, or with the coming of Mashiach, just as we were nigal from Mitzrayim, just as we were redeemed from Mitzrayim with incredible miracles, so too in the future, we will be redeemed with incredible miracles. The Gemara tells us that really there should have been incredible miracles in the time of Ezra HaSofer as well, for the second Beis HaMikdash, just like there were incredible miracles here. There should have been, but unfortunately, we because of our averus, we didn't have those kind of miracles that happened. The same miracles that happened with Mitzrayim did not happen when we went up for the second Beis HaMikdash. But for the third Beis HaMikdash, we are guaranteed that there will be miracles as what took place when we left Mitzrayim. Yiru goyim v'yevoshu, the non-Jews will see, they will be ashamed, mikol gvura sam, from all of their strengths, from all the things that they've said in the past, they will be ashamed. Yasimu yon al pad, they'll put their hands on their mouths, aznehem techerashna, their ears will become deaf, that from what they're hearing, what they're seeing, it's going to shame them. Yilachachu afar kanachash, they will lick the dirt like a snake, kizokha lay eretz, like those who slither on the ground. Yirgizu mimiskiro sehem, they will tremble from being locked up. El Hashem Elokeinu yifchadu, to Hashem our God, they will fear. V'yiru mimeka, they will fear you, they will be afraid of you, Hashem. And that brings us to some of the most famous psukim in Tanakh. We say these psukim during Slichos and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We say these psukim many times. We also lay these psukim in two different haftorahs. These psukim are the last psukim of Shabbos Shuva, and they are also the last psukim of Maftir Yonah on Yom Kippur. We say these psukim at the end. And they are, Mi Kel Kamocha, who is powerful, who is God like you? No Se Avon Va'over Al Pesha, who carries sin, who bears sin, and overlooks Averos. Misheris nachla, so for the remnant of his inheritance, lo hechezik lad apo, he does not hold on to his anger forever, ki chafetz chesed hu, because he desires chesed. Yashuv yirachamenu, he will return and have mercy upon us. Yichbosh avonosenu, he will cover up or push away, trample our sins. V'sashlich b'msulos yom kol chatosam, and throw into the ocean all of their sins. This pasuk is therefore said at tashlich, because of throwing sins into the water. Titein emes liYaakov, give truth to Yaakov, chesed leAvraham, chesed to Avraham, asher nishbat alav osinim yekedem, that you swore to our ancestors in days of old. What does this last pasuk mean? So the literal meaning of the pasuk, is the way Rashi translates, is as follows: Titein emes liYaakov, make true that which you said you were going to give to Yaakov. Make true that which you said you were going to give to Yaakov. Chesed leAvraham, which will also be chesed for Avraham. That which you're going to give to Yaakov will make that true, which will be chesed for Avraham. Asher nishbat alav oseinu mine kedem, that you swore to our ancestors the days of old. The asher nishbat is a reference to the pasuk in the after Akedas Yitzchak. It says, Binishbati Num Hashem, I swear by my name, by me, says Hashem, that he's going to increase the Avraham's children and the Jewish people. Therefore, this pasuk refers to all three of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that in their merit, in their zchus, that Hashem should take care of us and bring the Geula. And that's why Micha ends with this pasuk. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we have a machlokes, we have a difference of opinion about what happens to the people with their averus and their mitzvahs at Rosh Hashanah time and Yom Kippur time. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, Amen. Shalom. Amen. The Gemara tells us, we know that the tzaddikim, gemurim, those, I'll read you the Gemara says, Beis Shammai says, Gimel kitos hein liyom hadin, there are three groups for the Day of Judgment. Achas shel tzaddikim gemurim, one are the completely righteous. V'achas shel rishoyim gemurim, one are the completely evil. V'achas shel beinonim, and one are those in the middle. Tzadikim gemurin, those who are completely righteous, nechtavim v'nechtamim le'alter l'chayei olam. They are written and sealed immediately for life forever. Rishayim gemurim, those who are completely evil, nechtavim v'nechtamim le'alter l'gehenim. They are written and sealed immediately for Gehenim. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "V'raba mishene adama." Many of those who are sleeping in the ground, mishene admasafar, those who are sleeping in the ground in the dirt, yakitsu, they will wake up. Eila lechayolam, these will go to life forever. Ve'ela lecherpos lederon olam, and these for shame, for degradation forever. This is referring to before tchias hamesim. This is what is going to happen then. There's going to be three groups. One group will go immediately to Olam Haba, which means they're going to have Tchias HaMesim right away. One group will go immediately to Gehenna. Beinanim, the middle group, which is the vast majority of people, Beis Shammai's opinion is, Yardim LeGehenim, they go down to Gehenim, Umitzaf Tzifim, and they cry out, V'olin, and they come up. Meaning they go down to Gehenim for a very short time, they endure some pain, and then they come out, and they go to Olam Haba. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ve'vesi es hashlishis ba'esh, I will bring a third in the fire, a third meaning a third of this, the third group into the fire. Utsaraftim kitsrof es hakesef, and I will purify them like you purify silver. Ubechantim kivchon es hazav, and I will test them as you test gold. Hu yikra b'shmi, he will call out in my name, v'ani ene oso, and I will answer him. V'aleim amra chana, and about this third group, Chana said in her tefillah, Hashem meimis u'mechaye, Hashem puts to death and brings back to life. Morid sha'ol, he puts down to the depths, that means into Gehenna, v'yal, and then takes them out of Gehenna. So according to Beis Shammai, this middle group has to endure Gehenna for a short time before going on to Tchias HaMesim, which is Olam Haba. That is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, V'rav chesed, Hashem has much kindness. Mata klape chesed, he leans towards kindness. And so the third group will therefore not need to go to Gehenna according to Beis Hillel, but Hashem leans towards kindness, and they will also go to Olam Haba. V'aleim Amar David, and about them David says, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es koli, I loved that Hashem, you heard my voice, that you took care of me and did not allow me to go to Gehenna. So that is Beis Hillel's opinion. So according to Beis Hillel, V'rav chesed mate klape chesed, Hashem leans towards kindness, and therefore the middle group ends up being pushed towards Olam Haba. They do not need to go to Gehenna for a short time. That's Beis Hillel's opinion. But the Gemara wants to know, how does Hashem do that? What does He do exactly? What does He do with the Averus and the Mitzvos? After all, if the scales come out even, how does He push them to Gan Eden, to Olam Haba? How does He do that? The fact of the matter is that there's Mitzvos and Averus and they're in the middle. According to Beis Shammai, what happens is they go to Gehenna, they atone a little bit, that obliterates some of the Averus, and now the scales will tip in favor of the Mitzvos, of the Zechuyos. They will outweigh the Averus, because some of the Averus get atoned for, they get burned up through Gehenna. So then it makes sense that now they can go on to Olam Haba. But according to Beis Hillel, if the Averus and Mitzvos remain the same, how do they end up in Olam Haba? They should be in limbo. How do they get up? How do they get to Olam Haba? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, let's skip ahead over here. I'm in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, 17a. So the Gemara says, Beis Hillel Omer V'Rav Chesed Mate Klape Chesed, that Hashem leans towards kindness. Heichi Avid, what does He do? How does that work? We have different opinions. Rabbi Elazar Omer Kovsho. Kovsho means he pushes down on the mitzvah side. There's mitzvahs and averos on the scale. Hashem pushes down on the mitzvah side. My wife once took clothing to a laundromat, and they, you know, to get there was a ton of laundry, and either a lot of people or the washer wasn't working, whatever it was. So she took clothing to a laundromat. So the guy in the laundromat, you know, they weigh the clothing, and they charge by the pound. Yeah, they charge by the pound. So he put the stuff on the scale, and then he said, you know, whatever, it's $30. It's 30 pounds, $30. So my wife said, you're leaning on the scale. He had his hand on the scale. And he said, $30. So he said, you're leaning on the scale. He said, it's $30. Got it. Anyway, so
she goes in Hashem's ways.
That person?
No, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So, according to Rav Lazar, he leans, he's kovesh, he pushes down on the zechuyos, on the positive, on the merit side of the scale, pushing it down, and therefore it outweighs the averos. How do we know that?
To make it outweigh.
Well, what?
He's got to be pushing on the Averos to make
No, that's not outweigh goes down. The heavy one goes down. The one that goes down wins. So, how do we know that? From our Pasuk, Shneamar, the Pasuk says over here, Yashuv, this Pasuk Yotes 19, Yashuv Yirachameinu, he will return and he will have mercy on us, Yichbosh Avonoseinu. He will push down and thereby get rid of our Averos. That's Rashi explains. Yichbosh doesn't mean he'll push down on the averus. He'll push down on the scales, and thereby the averus will be outweighed. That's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says no. No say. He instead lifts up on the averus side of the scales, meaning instead of push down on the mitzvah side of the scales, he lifts up the averus side of the scale so that the mitzvah side goes down. Because that's the way a scale works. One, if you lift up one side up, the other side goes down. So instead of pushing down on the mitzvah side, he raises up the averus side. How do we know that? It's because it says it in our pasuk, in pasuk Yud Ches 18. Shenamar, no se avon ve'ovei al pesha. He lifts up the sin, and thereby he overlooks the avera. So that's the way Hashem does it. So either he pushes down on the mitzvah side, or he raises up the avera side. Either way, the net result is the same. The person now has a heavier mitzvah side, or the mitzvahs outweigh the averas. Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, but they taught in the yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, Mavir Rishon Rishon. The way he does it is, he removes one sin at a time, V'chein Hu Amida, that is the measure. What he does is, as Rashi explains, let me read you the Rashi, Avon She Birishonim Habayim, Lisitam Lekaf, the first averus that come to get put into the scales, and as averus come, and now he's supposed to put them in the scales. The very first ones, he pushes them aside. Maviro, he puts them on the side. Vishomto, and he pushes them aside. Shimahayu mechza, that way if it's 50-50, kiven shechasar echad mehen, since one is missing, yichru'u hazuchuyos, the merits will then win. So what he does is the first averos, he keeps them on the side, and that way, if it ends up being 50-50, the merits will win. That's what he does. However, amar Rava, v'avon atzmo enu nimchak, but the avera itself is not erased. Di'iko ruba avonos, if it ends up the person has more averos than mitzvos, makshiv bahadayu, then it goes back into the calculation. It's not that it's gone forever. It's gone in case it's going to end up being 50-50, it'll actually be 51-49. Because these averus will be on the side. That's the way Hashem does it, but he keeps them there, and then, if needed, he will then add them back in. That is, meaning, if the person is really a Rasha, then they do get added back in. So we have, apparently, three methods that Hashem uses to give merit to those who are Beinonim. Either he pushes down on the Avera side, or lifts up the mitzvah side. He pushes down on the mitzvah side, lifts up the Avera side, or he sets aside a couple of Averas and sees what happens. That's apparently the three methods.
What does it mean, sees what happens? The person's already not doing anything.
Until he's done the cheshbon. Whatever that means. I mean, Hashem knows in advance anyway, right? But whatever's going on in Shamayim, when the din is happening, this is what happens. So what does that mean? What does it mean that Hashem pushes down on the mitzvah side, he lifts up the avera side? What does that mean? So it seems that what it means is that there are three ways that Hashem can take a person that is really only 50-50 and get them to be have a heavier mitzvah side than avera side. One method is to push down on the mitzvahs, which means to emphasize the mitzvahs, meaning that objectively the person's averas and mitzvahs are exactly the same. But if Hashem emphasizes the mitzvahs to say that they're very special, then they can push down and outweigh the avera side. That's one way. Another way would be that Hashem could de-emphasize the avera side. By lifting up on the avera side, what that is analogous to is de-emphasizing the avera side, not giving as much attention to the avera side as to the mitzvah side. And thereby, the mitzvahs will outweigh the averas. Or, a third method is, which is apparently not as good as the first two methods, because the first two methods then the person is fine. Those of the there's no averos to reckon with that were set aside. But the third method is to take an avera or two and say, you know what, I'll deal with this later. Just setting it aside and we'll worry about it later, taking it off the scales, not putting it into the cheshbon, which means the averos are still there, as Rava says. They don't disappear, but they won't go into the cheshbon. The cheshbon, the calculation, will be made only with 99% of the person's actions, not with 100% of the person's actions. 1% of what the person did in their lifetime will be set aside and dealt with in a special way, different way, not in the overall calculation. So although the person will end up in Olam Haba, because they will have more mitzvahs than averos, it won't be 100% accurate, because there are going to be some on the side that will still need to be handled in a different way. But what triggers that? I mean, why is that just that Hashem should emphasize the mitzvahs or de-emphasize the averos? How does a person, I mean, it doesn't seem fair if a person deserves that they're 50-50. So what does that mean to emphasize or de-emphasize something? So the hint is the next line of the Gemara, which is a very famous Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kol ha-mavir al midosav, anybody who does not stand on principle, anybody who does not let things slide, they're not makbid, they don't get upset over something they were wronged with, ma'avir lo al kol psha'av, then in shamayim, then they overlook his averos. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, our pasuk, nosei avon ve'over al pesha, says in pasuk Yilches, in verse 18, he bears the sin and he overlooks iniquity. Limi nosei avon, to whom does Hashem carry the sin? For whom does he carry his sin? Limi she'over al pesha, for the person who does not. The person who overlooks averos, the person who doesn't get upset or doesn't deal with that which is done to them wrong. No saying avon, lift up the sin, we learned, is lifting up that side of the scales of the averos, de-emphasizing the averos. How does one earn that? Then Hashem will de-emphasize their averos, because they are a mavir al midosav, they do not stand on principle. Says the Gemara, there was a story. The story is that Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua got sick. He got sick, meaning deathly ill. Rav Papa went to visit him, saw how deathly ill he was, and he told the people that they were to prepare shrouds, because clearly Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua was going to die. In the end, Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua recovered, and he did not die. Rav Papa was embarrassed because he didn't have faith that Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua would get better. He was sure Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua was about to die. So, therefore, Papa felt like perhaps he didn't give enough credit to Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua. So, the Gemara says, they asked Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua, what did you see when you were about to die? So he said, really, I was going to die. Rav Papa was correct. I was really about to die. In fact, I may have been dead already, but I was dying for sure. And Hashem said to the heavenly court, since he, Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, does not stand on principle, Lo sakumu bas bahadei, do not stand on his averos. Don't pay attention to his averos. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, no se'avon ve'avel pesha, he bears the sin, he lifts up the sin and overlooks the averos. Lami no se'avon, for whom does he carry the sin? La'over pesha, for the person who does not stand on principle, the person who overlooks the averos. What causes that Hashem should de-emphasize a person's averos? That is, that a person is a mavir al midosav, that he does not stand on principle. What does it mean to be maver al midosav? It's hard to translate the words. We say don't stand on principle. What does it mean? Rashi says that she'eno midakdek, he doesn't scrutinize limdod mida, to measure with a measuring utensil, limitsarim oso, those who pain him, those who hurt him, those who stab him in the back. Umaniach midosav, he leaves his measuring tools behind, vaholichlo, and he goes. When a person is wronged, when we feel we've been wronged, someone hurt us, someone did something mean or not nice to us, let's say it's on purpose, we're not talking, let's say it really is, a person meant to harm us and did harm us, we tend to dwell on that harm. We tend to measure it and think about it and be medactic and scrutinize it. This is what they did to me. This is what they were thinking. This is what they should have done. This is not fair. This is what I should have said back. This is, we play it in our minds over and over and over and over and over again because we feel hurt and we feel wronged. And we do that over and over again. That is the natural way a person reacts to being hurt, to being attacked, to being put through pain. We are resentful and we play it in our minds over and over and over again. That is the opposite of being mavra midosav. Now it is the natural thing a person does. The person is equipped with all kinds of measuring tools. We all measure things in our minds and we measure what the person did to us. And we want either retribution, or we want an apology, we want something. We want there to be this wrong to be made right. And it's not good enough if it's made right a little bit. We want it to be fully made right. We've got it worked out in our minds, all the details of everything that was done wrong to us, and we want every single detail made right. And if it's not every single detail, then forget it. Then it's not good enough. That's measuring, being medactic, that's scrutinizing the wrong. A special person who is mavir al midosav, that they leave their measuring tools behind. They leave the measuring cups behind. They don't deal with the measuring. Yes, they feel wronged. Yes, they feel hurt. Yes, they feel that the person did something they should not have done. But they refuse to measure it. They say, it happened, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to sit here going through every detail what this person did to me. It was wrong. That's it. We move on in life. That takes a very special person to do that. It's a very special midah to do that. To not measure the wrong. And just say there was a wrong. Well, and gloss over it and move on. Hashem says if a person does that with their fellow human being, with their fellow Jew, then we do that upstairs also. We do not emphasize their averos. We de-emphasize their averos because they're de-emphasizing the averos of other people. Therefore, Hashem says, I am going to de-emphasize this person's averos. And if those scales are even, I'm going to take his averos or her averos and I'm going to lift them up. I'm going to de-emphasize them and their mitzvos will therefore outweigh their averos and they will go straight to Olam Haba, no need to go to Gehenim at all for such a person. That's why someone who's Mavir al Midosav, Mavir al Noah, Kol Psha'av, the person gets a free pass. Because he de-emphasizes what another person did wrong to them. Hashem says, then I'm going to de-emphasize what you did wrong to me. By the same token, that's what the Gemara says about Mavir al Midosav. But we can learn from here the other way around as well. Then that's what a person needs in order to earn that Hashem will de-emphasize their averos. How does a person earn that Hashem will emphasize their mitzvos? Because that's the other way to do it. That Hashem pushes down on the mitzvah side. That is because most people look at other people with a critical eye. We are judgmental of other people. We are critical of other people. We tend to look at people and judge them, at least to judge them the way things seem and often in a critical way. But there are special people who look at other people with a positive eye, are always seeing the good in other people, always emphasizing the positives of the other person, always looking at, oh, look how good they were, look at this great thing they did, look at the great thing that did, look how wonderful this person is. And instead of being judgmental of the person, they're constantly elevating and emphasizing the good points and the mitzvos and the positive traits of other people. Hashem says, if you're going to emphasize the mitzvos of other people, then I am going to emphasize your mitzvos. When a person does something good for you, you respond with all kinds of hakaras hatov because of how wonderful the person is, and you emphasize how wonderful they are to you, then I am going to emphasize how wonderful you are to me when you do mitzvos. And therefore, if the person has scales that are equal for averos and mitzvos, the mitzvos will be emphasized and pushed down, which will then lift up the averos, and therefore the person will end up in Olam Haba and not need to go to Gan Eden. That is the system that happens for people who deserve it. That the person whose mitzvos and averos are the same, or beinonim, which is most people, but people who have one of these two, and even better, both, of these midos, of de-emphasizing what people do wrong to them and emphasizing what people do right to them, then Hashem says, I'm going to do the same with you. That's how Hashem is mate klape chesed, that He pushes towards chesed, that He leans towards chesed for those types of people. For those who don't have those two midos, then the way that Hashem pushes the person into Gan Eden is by leaving aside the first couple of averos, so that when the scales are even, they end up being slightly better for the mitzvos than for the averos. But in that system, those averos are still there. They're not obliterated, they're still there. They do need to be dealt with in one way or another. And that is not the best way for this system to happen. The best way is for either for the averos to be lifted up, the mitzvahs to be pushed down, or both those things. That is the better way than this way, which is Rishon Rishon, Hashem removes the first couple of averos so that there is ultimately a better scale, a better way weighing in for the mitzvahs and for the averos. And that's what the Gemara seems to mean here, Rosh Hashanah, explaining these psukim of Mikael Kamocha.
It looks like it's not only Patrias HaMason, based on that story, that he got to live longer because he had this Mida.
Yeah, that's what it seems. It seems that this Mida helps. I mean, we say this every year for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that during Aseres Mitzvah especially, we talk about being Mavra Midosov and not standing on principle. So it's true. It does seem that it is true all the time. The Gemara happens to be talking specifically about Olam Haba.
Yeah. But they were talking about Olam Haba, but then
the story,
proof of it is that it's not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Interesting also, you know, we say Mechal Kachayim Mechesed, Mechayim Mesim, the relate connection here of Tchias HaMesim and Chesed and Rachamim.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Very good.
So, the situation that, I mean, is this, you're talking about one person passes away that this is going on, or that
The Gemara is talking about in the future, before Tchias HaMesim.
Oh, okay. The ones in the dirt, you said.
I'm sorry?
You said people in the dirt. At the beginning, you were talking about people who were in the dirt.
Yeah. The psukim here in Micha are talking more globally. But the Gemara, that's the Gemara Beis Shammai Beis Hillel are talking about in the future before Tchias HaMesim. But as Mrs. Deitch said, this really applies all the time. We talk about it in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur also, which is true.
I also learned that Tchias HaMesim, that Hashem is doing Tchias HaMesim as soon as a person dies, and it already starts the process. This is when you were saying about how does Hashem do it if it's even, like how can He take away? So what I learned was that the hardships that happen to the person when they die and their neshama is taken away from them, because most people don't have a neshika, so that's hard. And then the tara is hard, and then the decomposition of the body. And all those hardships is already working on Tchias HaMesim.
Yeah, that's all working towards a person's schus. That is true. That is true. The Ramchal, though, says that the neshama goes, after death, goes to Gan Eden, there's two Gan Edens. There's Gan Eden down here where Adam and Chava were, and then there's Gan Eden upstairs. And the Neshama goes to Gan Eden, which is a place where the Neshama has pleasure, but it is not as much pleasure as Olam Haba. Olam Haba is Tchias HaMesim. Olam Haba is later on. Now, Olam Haba is when the body and the soul are reunited. That is the ultimate reward, not now. Now it's kind of a holding time when the Neshama is in a place of pleasure, but it is not as much pleasure as in the future when there's Tchias HaMesim. That is when the ultimate reward happens.
Olam Haba meaning after Mashiach comes.
That's what Olam Haba is. Not when Mashiach comes. Tchias HaMesim. We don't know what happens when Mashiach comes exactly.
But not before. I mean, not when a person is Niftar.
Then they go to Gan Eden, not Olam Haba. It's a different. Olam Haba is this world after Neshama is put back in the Guf.
After the Neshama. Olam has Adam Melech Prasdar.
Yeah. Before Olam Haba is Tchias HaMesim.
So not when a person dies, not until Mashiach.
No, not Mashiach comes. Tchias HaMesim. We don't know
that. Right, well, Tchias HaMesim is not happening until Mashiach comes.
Yeah, for sure not. Right.
So that's not until Mashiach comes. So it's not when the person dies.
No, that's not Olam Haba. Rashi says it in Mesechta Sanhedrin over and over again. Olam Haba is Tchias HaMesim. Olam Haba means the world to come. It's this world. It's here. It's just this world will be reconstituted to become the world of reward instead of the world of doing mitzvahs and avoiding averus, it becomes the world of reward. Yom Shekulo Shabbos. It's the time when
Hello? So then why do we say it's present tense, Mechaye Mesim?
Oh, because there's all kinds of meaning in that. You know, there's all kinds of meaning in Mechaye Mesim. But real, you know, the true Tchias HaMesim is in the future.
After
Yeah.
Mashiach.
Yeah.
Colloquially, I mean, people use Olam Haba.
Yeah. People
generally.
Yeah, that's what they say.
For
right.
They die.
Yeah. That's okay. It's not wrong. I mean, the Neshama is going to Gan Eden, yeah. Right? Which is, right? The Neshama is with Hashem. We're not wrong about that. It's just that the terminology, Rashi is clear when it says in the Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba, that all Jews have a portion of the world to come. It doesn't mean after a person dies, it means after Tchias HaMesim. That's what it's referring to. It means that every Jew has Tchias HaMesim. We start off with it. We don't have to earn that. It's only a person who chaser and lose it. But we start off with Olam Haba, with Tchias HaMesim.
So also you mentioned that Tzaddikim are going to have that ability to be Mechaye Mesim.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
Because I thought that was one of the Mavtechos that Hashem doesn't give
away. I know. I don't know what it means. But it's the Medrash says, like Elisha and like Eliyahu. It's pretty good. I don't know
what Mavtech means.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be a bad thing. I just understand.
We'll find out.
Here's Hashem.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.